All right, you're back in the DFSR here on the DFSR Podcast Network. Coming up, we have an interview with Chris Durrell from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com as he talks about this upcoming season in NASCAR, his trip to the Daytona 500 coming up next week, and just general strategies for DraftKings NASCAR lineups. Let's get it on. All right, as promised, we are here with DFSR's Chris Durrell to talk a little NASCAR, which would be good for me because I consider myself, I mean, noob almost might be too nice of a word to put. How am I to put my views on NASCAR? Chris, man, how's it going?
It's going excellent, man. Getting ready for Daytona.
Yeah, this is so we got some big DFSR news coming out here. We're going to talk about this weekend's NASCAR contest for DraftKings. And we're going to be doing some more NASCAR related content this year, especially on our probably the back end of our basketball podcast and then our new standalone podcast, which is going to be this is going to be the first edition of that, which is going to be just sort of catch all stuff for what we're doing here over at DFSR. But big news for DFSR folks, and I know you have a lot of DFSR fans because you're active in the chat and people just kind of love you. Going to Daytona 500 this year, you will be representing the DFSR. Really, I'm going to rewind. You're really going to represent yourself because you've worked like crazy to kind of put your name into the NASCAR content space. Talk us a little bit about what's going to be happening for you next weekend at Daytona and sort of how that came about.
Yeah, I got a message from NASCAR Lady Jasmine Neely at NASCAR Integrated Marketing Communications, and she invited me to come down to the Daytona 500 and kind of cover it from a media standpoint as a non-core media member, just to kind of mostly on the fantasy side of things. So really what I get to do is I leave on Tuesday, fly out, and then first thing Wednesday morning, Wednesday's media day, Daytona 500 media day next week. And I pretty much get to sit there all day and interview drivers, ask a bunch of questions. So I've got that all, you know, some general racing questions that might help the people playing fantasy, as well as just some fantasy questions just to ask them kind of the impact, what they think of the impact of fantasy on the sport. And, you know, if they play other sports when it comes to fantasy and stuff like that. And then Thursday and Friday is kind of an open day where I get to pretty much just hang around in the pits in the garage. I'm going to do some reporting from there. There's a ton of practices and qualifying going on. So I'll be there, going to try and talk, maybe get some interviews, some podcasts with some drivers if I can, maybe some team members, stuff like that. And then there's a truck race Friday night, Xfinity race on Saturday, and then the big one is the Daytona 500 on Sunday. And I get to spend pretty much the whole week, if I want, I believe, in the pits and kind of in the garage, kind of viewing things. So I'll be doing some Periscope, some YouTube Live, some podcasts, kind of a little bit of everything, just to kind of report from there because it's such a big deal. It's the 60th running this year as well, so it's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff, man. Really excited for you. Really excited to see all the stuff that you'll be posting just in terms of just the live coverage down there. And like I said, a testament to just how hard you've worked to sort of just put yourself out there because they found you. You didn't find them. And I think that's one of the coolest things. If you're ever looking for just stories about if you just keep working at something, someday someone will come around knocking. And like in this case, NASCAR did. So you're going to be enjoying. Yeah, I'm vicariously living through you, even though I've never been to a NASCAR race. All right, let's talk a little bit about what we have going, just in terms of NASCAR sort of writ large strategies and scoring and stuff like that. Because my guess is a lot of people listening to this have not really dove all that much into just NASCAR DFS. But it's one of those things, you know, NBA All-Star break coming up. It's a Sunday kind of thing. No football Sundays over the weekend and stuff like that. So I could see people sort of maybe wanting to trend toward these other DFS offerings, these sort of niche sports, just to kind of, I don't know, wet their whistle a little bit on it, especially too, if you're going to be around on a weekend and you want to just kind of take in a race, putting in lineups, I think is one of the best ways to sort of enjoy it. So let's start with just NASCAR in general. What kind of stuff are we looking for? I mean, is there the scoring system? Let's say I'm coming at this, which I am personally. We've talked a little bit NASCAR in the past, but I got to be honest, my memory is short when it comes to this stuff. Let's talk a little bit about scoring first. And when we're talking about putting together NASCAR lineups, you know what we look for in scoring, and we can also just talk about like sort of the schedule of events in terms of like what I need to look for in terms of timing and research I want to do. You can choose. You tell me where you want to start. Do you want to talk about like sort of some of the events and the scheduling of NASCAR or the scoring?
Yeah, I guess first of all, just go over a little bit of the schedule, what's happening. So this weekend is the Daytona Clash. It's kind of an exhibition race for eligible drivers who won poles last year. that's winning qualifying, and then Formadate, Daytona 500 winners, and then all the drivers are eligible who made the playoffs last year. It's a 75 lap exhibition race with two segments in there, 25 laps and then 50 laps. So there is some DraftKings contests up in the lobby. Now, there's only 17 drivers in the field. So the big thing is, you know, if you're going to be entering the $8 NASCAR Beast, which is $20,000 to first, you got to watch out because it's 150 max entry contest. And with only 17 drivers, it's going to be pretty easy for a lot of people to get in there and max enter those and pretty much get every combination of the drivers possible. So if you're only looking to enter, you know, a few lineups, that's maybe not the contest to enter. There is some single entry, three entry max tournaments, even the 20 entry max, if you want to go 20 entry and the $3 slingshot, it's got some pretty good payouts as well. Like it's $1,500 for first, and you'd be in for $60. So not bad there. Just kind of watch those when you're entering contests there for sure. And then next week, of course, is the big one. We've got the Daytona 500. The Can-Am duels are on Thursday. I believe they're probably going to have some contests for those. So those are, they split the field in two, and those are your qualifying races. They're 60 lap races, so they're short little races. And that determines the field from the second row back. And the drivers in the first Can-Am dual race are going to be on the inside row come Sunday, next Sunday. And then the drivers on the outside lane will come from the second Can-Am duel. And that's pretty much it for kind of the schedule events. There's a couple changes this year that are going to be interesting. It's not really going to affect us for fantasy too much, but it's worth mentioning that Las Vegas got a second race, and it's going to open the playoffs now, replacing Chicago. So that's going to be interesting. And then the biggest and most interesting thing that's going to happen this year is that Charlotte built it's a hybrid between a road course and an oval. They're calling it the Charlotte Roval. And so it's got a road course in the center, and then half of the oval is being run. They're not using it at the All-Star race, but what they are doing is it's going to be the third race of the playoffs, which is going to be an elimination race. So it's going to be crazy because the drivers aren't going to have pretty much any experience on this track whatsoever. And from looks of some videos and stuff out there, there could be a lot of crashes. There's some really tight turns, stuff like that. So having it as an elimination race in the playoffs is its first professional race, I guess you could say, is going to be nuts. It's going to put a lot of emphasis during the season on getting playoff points through the stages, getting those extra playoff points, and especially the first two races of the playoffs. There's going to be a ton more emphasis on winning those races so that drivers don't really have to worry about maybe getting in a crash at that Charlotte Roval in that first race so they can move on in the playoffs. So that pretty much covers the schedule events and stuff, some things that are going on there. So I guess next up, we might as well talk about the DraftKings scoring itself and just how you accumulate points throughout the race. So let's go back to schedule
sure. of events real quick. You know, you sort of mentioned it, but and maybe this is getting too far down into sort of like some of the strategies and things, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit later. But when you look at some of these, just in your just sort of bird's eye view of some of these races, you know, if I compare NASCAR to, like, let's say, you know, golf in terms of just, like, you know, players entering events, are there ones that they do put more emphasis on? In terms of just, like, you know, the Daytona 500 and things like that, just being the high market events? Or do you think that, like, you can approach pretty much every race just from, like, a who's going to drive sort of standpoint? Like, can you approach most of these races kind of the same as each other?
Yeah, to me, that's going to be one question I really want to ask the drivers is, you know, during the off season, are you actually sitting down with, like, your crew chief and your team and looking at, say, planning out your strategy for the different races and different track types throughout the season? Or are you just putting all of your emphasis on that Daytona 500 as it is one of the biggest races of the year? So that's one of the questions I want to ask them. Now, for me personally, I think they take every race a driver would take, you know, goes by week, I think is the answer that they're going to give. So I think most of them are going to be, you know, planning in the off season for the Daytona 500. But week by week, I think they value each race the same because those playoff points, those wins, a win gets you automatically into the playoffs. So I think every race is the same. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to fantasy strategy, there definitely is drivers that are better, say, on the mile and a half tracks versus road courses versus short tracks. And those are guys that I've kind of, you know, I've been doing, if you've been looking at DFSR lately out there, you'll see that I've been doing some preview articles for each and every team, every driver, and just kind of going back and looking at my race by race trend sheet. that I do, and I record the points on each kind of track, each track type, so you can really nail down a pregame strategy. You know, if you want to go into the season and say, okay, I'm going to target this guy on these kind of tracks, on, you know, restrictor plate tracks, I'm going to target these three drivers mostly every time they go to a short track, just so that you kind of have a list and get a game plan set for when that race does come around.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's like I said, for me, if I'm looking at NASCAR, I'm just seeing just cars kind of just driving in a circle around the track. I get that there's strategy to it. So I'm not being completely, I'm not saying that from an ignorant standpoint. I completely understand that there are, that there's strategy, and these are things that, like, you know, just the typical person can't do, and not every car and driver is made the same. And like you said, like, not, and their motivations might not all be the same either, which is something. So some of these sports, it's funny about some of these sports, because like, I do feel, in some of them, and maybe more than I suspect, but like, I feel it's less of an issue, like with huge sample size stuff like baseball, let's say, or basketball even, where players tend to regress to their means. I do feel like sports sort like NASCAR and like golf, which just happen to be MMA sort of too, that just happen to be these niche sports, the emotional piece of it, I feel like just matters a little bit more. The skill matters for sure, obviously. And I think that there is like this another emotional component. And maybe I'm using the word emotional, and I more mean mental, like mental component to them that maybe doesn't exist as much, or we don't think about it as much in the other sports. So I think do you tend to agree with that? Like, I don't know if I'm making that up as a person that doesn't know a ton about NASCAR, but you know, do you think there's something, and we'll get into the scoring here in a second, but do you think there are some things in NASCAR that numbers can't always completely account for? Same way, like the same with golf, like you can't. Or maybe in the long term, the numbers will account for it. But in the short term, these race by race, these PGA, and I'm using golf also because you're a PGA expert as well. Yep. You can do all of our golf stuff too. So maybe I'm equating them because I'm living it through you specifically. But yeah. Do you think that mental and emotional piece in NASCAR is maybe a little bit more than you'll see in a hockey game or in a basketball game or something like that?
Yeah, like the sample sizes, first of all, like you mentioned sample sizes, that's one of the biggest things, especially with NASCAR. Like, there's only two road courses every year, and you look at some short tracks, there's only six of those, or say the 1 mile intermediate tracks, there's only six of those. Plate tracks, there's only two of the tracks. There's four races, two at each restrictor plate track. And even the mile and a half tracks, which, you know, that makes up a third of the races throughout the year, there's only 12 of them each year. So yeah, the sample sizes are really small. And then the other change this year is that NASCAR's really moving towards a youth movement right now. Like, Dale Jr.'s out, Matt Kenseth's out now, Jeff Gordon's been out for a couple of years, Carl Leonard's been out for a couple of years. So these veteran drivers are gone that have the actual sample sizes over the years. You can tell where they've been, you know, where they've been good and where they've been bad. So now we've got a whole bunch of young drivers in there that we don't really know a whole bunch about. So definitely, and I think that's something that we can maybe take advantage of, not knowing a whole bunch about them, especially in like GPP formats, because a lot of people are going to tend to go towards the guys that they do have the data on, versus the guys that they don't have really any data on at all.
Yeah, that's interesting. And my final thought about just like the specific events being all so different. It is one of those things like where it, you know, basketball is just played on a basketball, at least with basketball, it's just played on a basketball court every time, right?
Yep, the 3-point line. Same size every city.
It's not like you go to Charlotte and you're like, heads up, because the 3-point line's 5 feet further back in this game than it is in like their game. And, you know, you'd have to adjust for like, you know, this, you know, Kyle Korver can shoot it from a little farther away, so it helps him. You know, we have a uniform structure for other sports in terms of, you know, the foul line's here and the 3-point line's here and the end zone is 10 yards here. And, you know, I mean, imagine if you just started moving all that stuff around and having to account for the difference in what each player does in these like maybe slight distances, or like, or the, you know, is one team better when the field is narrower or something like that. And I know these are made up scenarios, but this does seem to be sort of like what happens in these NASCAR races, in that you just are going into a totally different environment each time with all these things being different. Anyway, so that's just my, and I'm just now, maybe I'm going to get more into NASCAR than I thought I was going to, because it just seems like there's just too much to think about.
That's going to bring importance. And, you know, maybe doing these podcasts every week and the strategy articles and the articles that I write, is that every week is a totally different ballgame. And it's kind of like that in golf, because every course is different. But especially with NASCAR, I mean, there's flat tracks, there's different bankings, like everything is different. Every week is a whole new challenge for teams. They use different cars. And especially now with drivers with less experience, it's going to be very important to stay on top of things and really analyze it and break it down. So definitely good point there.
Let's get to some of the scoring considerations I want to take a look for when putting together lineups for NASCAR and DraftKings. If I'm new to NASCAR here, what are, you know, obviously it's not just the guy who wins scores all the points. There has to be other scoring considerations that go in here. What else do we need to look for if I'm sitting down to, one, put together a lineup, and then, two, just sort of from a fan standpoint, when I'm watching the race, what am I looking for? You know, I know when a basket goes in, and I know that I've scored 2 points with one of my guys there. Yeah. What am I looking for during a race in terms of the scoring? And kind of walk us through some of that DraftKings scoring.
Sure. So, yeah, you mentioned finishing position. Of course, that's going to be number one. So they came up with these points on DraftKings when there was a 43-car field. Now we're down to 40. So that's kind of why it maybe seems weird when you first explain it. So whoever gets first, they're going to get 43 points. Second's going to get 42 points. Third is going to get 41 points. And then all the way down to 40th place, which is going to get 4 points. And the reason they don't get one is because it's now a 40-car field, not a 43-car field. Also, the winner gets 3 bonus points for winning. So he's actually going to get 46 points for winning. So that kind of is pretty easy to sort out and watch during the race, because it does show the running order during the race. So you can kind of follow that and kind of get a feel for where your drivers are. Now, DraftKings scoring live is a little bit hard to follow, just because, you know, you can go from, say, sitting at, I'm up 20 grand right now, when it shows your total where all your drivers are, and within seconds or one lap, you could drop down to zero. Like, it's so variable. It's very hard to watch and pay attention to on the DraftKings side of things. But if you know what you're looking for, and you know your 6 drivers that you've rostered, you can really start to pay attention. So then after those finishing positions, drivers are going to get what we call dominator points. And that is a combination of laps led and fastest lap. So for every lap a driver leads, that one of your drivers in your lineup leads, he gets 0.25 points on DraftKings. Every lap that he is the fastest car out of all the cars on the track, he also gets a half point. We call those dominator points. And really what we're looking at those for is on, say, the mile and a half track, short tracks, anywhere where there's lots of laps, because you're looking at short tracks like Bristol's got 500 laps. So there's 500 possible laps that a driver could lead. So that usually you're going to get one or two drivers that are going to lead a majority of those laps. So those are guys that you're definitely going to want to target when you're on those kind of tracks, is the one or two guys that are maybe very fast in practice, starting inside the top five. They're going to rack up a lot of those dominator points. It's going to be very important in your lineups. Now, the other thing that drivers can get in the other set of points is called place differential. So, for instance, if you start 10th and finish first, you're going to get 9 place differential points. So 9 bonus points added to your DraftKings score. Vice versa, if you start first and finish 10th, you're going to lose 9 points. So this really comes into play, one, when you're looking for value plays, say the 7,000 and less guys. You get a driver that's starting back in 33rd. He's practiced, you know, he's about 20th to 25th fastest. That's going to be a good guy to target, because he's likely going to pick up 5 to 10 spots, get you some added bonus points for, you know, a value price. The other place where that's really important is on the restrictor play tracks like Daytona, like Talladega. Those 4 races during the year, you're going to see a lot of guys, a lot of strong drivers that maybe start from the back, and it's easy to pass there. So there's a lot of lead changes. So there's not going to be a lot of dominator points. There's less laps, so there's definitely not a lot of dominator points. So maximizing your place differential is probably the number one strategy when you get on these plate tracks. It's a lot different strategy than, say, on your mile and a half track. So finding, you know, even 4 or 5 drivers in your lineup that's starting outside of 20th, outside of 25th, is probably optimal. Now, the other thing to remember is on these restrictor play tracks, you don't have to use all your salary, and it's probably optimal not to. A lot of times people that are winning these GPPs on DraftKings, when it comes to the Talladegas and the Daytonas, the restrictor play tracks, is they're leaving 500 to 1500. I've even seen up to $2,000. Dollars of salary left on their salary cap, just trying to maximize those place differential points. So it's really key.
Yeah, that's it's one of those funny things too, because it's like you make a good point about just being able to ingest all these things on a real time basis when you're watching the races, and saying, like, you know, how much, you know, obviously, I guess you're just looking at it from a lap to lap standpoint of just like, you know, did I get that fastest lap? How much ground is my guy making? From what I've watched of NASCAR, they do a good job of sort of just like giving you good real-time features on a lot of that stuff. And it still just seems like one of those ones that, yeah, you could be, the highest of highs after one lap, and then the lowest of lows when it kind of, and then obviously too, I mean,
it's a crazy sweat.
And how much are we worried about, you know, in basketball and really any other sport, the one of the biggest pieces of variance is injury. And I guess the NASCAR version of that is the crash, right? And not being able to return. Yeah. How much are we worried about that on a race to race basis? I think we just need to build into our mindset going in that, hey, look, over the course of a season, something like this is going to happen. Does it happen enough for us to account for it? I mean, what are your views when it comes to, you know, just the game time decision headed to the locker room version of NASCAR?
Right. And it's not just crashing either. Like, there's crashes, there's pit road penalties, tons of, you know, rain. So there's a lot of variance built into this. And I think that's something that we definitely need to take advantage of when it comes to GPPs, because like I said, you can go from 20,000 to zero in no time. So one thing that I really do look at because of that variance is in GPP lineups, you know, if you've got two guys that are going to be, and this happens a lot, you know, 50 to 60% ownership on them because they're going to, you know, maybe get a lot of dominator points, is take those guys that are going to be 5 to 10%, aren't expected to finish in the top five, but are starting there, and use them just to kind of build around that variance and take advantage of it when something does happen, which usually does, like blown engines, like I said, crashes, rain, pit road penalties. I mean, that stuff's happening every single race almost. And especially, you know, on this restrictor plate tracks, that's another thing, is that's, you know, we're kind of looking for, in air quotes here, the big one, which is, you know, the crash. And last year, I believe there was like five or six different huge crashes. And by the end of the race, out of the 40 car field, there was only like 17 drivers left in the lead lap, maybe even less. So sometimes it gets absolutely crazy, and you really got to build into that variance. So if you're going 20 max in these tournaments, you know, these DraftKings 20 max tournaments, building, you know, some chalky ones, you know, out of 5 to 10 of your lineups, but in those other 10, definitely go off the board a little bit. And it may seem like crazy at the time when you're building your lineups, but as soon as those crashes start happening, if you get six drivers that get through those crashes, you're going to cash.
Yeah.
Almost guaranteed.
That's really interesting. And I know, and again, I never really considered that, like, the quote unquote injury piece of NASCAR like this, that you do see in other sports when guys just get carted off, like I said. Any other considerations before we get out of here today? What I want to look for between cash and GBP plays, things I want to keep in mind, and just in terms of I'm building lineups, both for the clash this weekend, and then maybe, you know, maybe give out who you think is going to be some of the chalkier plays there, like you mentioned. And then with things I want to put together when I'm thinking about these cash versus GPP considerations with NASCAR.
I myself try and stay away from cash games, but if you are playing cash games, like I said, on the mile and a half tracks, on the, you know, the intermediate tracks and the short tracks, really look for targeting one or two of those dominator guys that are, you know, they're fast in practice. And you can find that on my weekly cheat sheets, who's fast in practice, who's got good 10 lap averages, stuff like that. Targeting one or two of those guys is usually key. And then place differential, just kind of fill in with place differential guys around him. And then when I look for like a punt driver down in that, you know, $5,000 high five, low $6,000 range, I really just look for someone that's maybe going to finish 30th, starting 36. So they're only going to pick up six place differential. They're only going to get 10 to 20 DraftKings points, but that's going to be key in helping you get two of those dominator drivers. So that's something I look for every week, is trying to find that one punt driver that I can fit in to those kind of lineups. Even in GPPs, it's important to get those guys. And then, like I said, for GPPs, you can find, it's pretty easy every week with only 40 cars in the field, who's going to be the chalk, who's going to be the most popular guys, and guys that are going to start inside the top five. You know, if Kyle Busch and Martin Truex are starting top five, they're fast in practice. They led like the majority of the laps last season, along with Kyle Larson. If you've got like a Ryan Blaney or let's see, like a Denny Hamlin, guys like that, that are going to start in Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez, young guys that are going to be starting inside the top five alongside those guys that are going to be extra popular. Those are great GPP pivots. And I'm going to have kind of an article targeting those guys. Like my article comes out usually Wednesday or Thursday. It's going to preview the race, some pre-qualifying / practice picks. And then once qualifying is done, which is usually on Saturday or Friday nights, and then final practices are on Saturday, I do a YouTube video that I will add to the article. And that kind of goes over my top picks for cash games as well as GPP. So make sure to check that out. Like I said, I've also got the race by race trend sheet that kind of goes back and looks at every driver's performance fantasy wise when it comes to every kind of every track and every track type. And then I've got the weekly cheat sheet as well. So this week is the Daytona Clash. I do have a quick sheet out for it. I'm going to put the link in the podcast here. And it kind of looks at the last 5 years Clash results, plate track history, Daytona history, salaries. And then I'm going to update it once they do. It's not actually qualifying this week. They do a blind draw. And they're pretty much just grabbing drivers out of the hat to see where they start. So it's kind of a fun thing they do on Saturday afternoon. So once they do that, I'm going to include those qualifying, so we know who to target from a place differential standpoint. Other than that, I'm pretty much around all year. You can hit me up on Twitter at Jaeger_bombs9. And I'm pretty much in the chat almost every day in DFSR.com. So you can hit me up there with any questions as well.
Yeah, it's great stuff, man. We'll be back again next week doing some Daytona. Obviously, you're going to be doing all the Daytona stuff. We'll jump on a podcast, hopefully,
next week. Reporting live from Daytona. Yeah, that's
a cool feeling, man. It's reporting live is a cool thing. We'll be back again. Like I said, next week, we'll try to jump on to a Daytona 500 podcast to really break down what is obviously a big race that even if you're just kind of a novice NASCAR guy, I suspect just about everyone has at least heard of the Daytona 500. And if you want a little sweat there, we'll talk about some strategies next week. Buddy, enjoy. If I don't talk to you at the beginning, enjoy your time in Daytona, and then I'll talk to you in Daytona. Appreciate the rundown on NASCAR. I'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.